So the Green Party's approach is ending preventable drug deaths through evidence-based policies and solutions grounded in dignity and care. We need a compassion-first approach. It's about saving lives. It's about keeping people alive. So we will be using evidence-based solutions from experts and the lived experience of people directly impacted.
Thank you. Rick?
Thank you. This is probably our greatest crisis at the time. There's, in my opinion, there's nothing compassionate about what we're currently doing. It's going to take a start from square one, and we have to treat people 100% at our, like, we need to pay for their support, whatever it is, however they got there. Sylvia pointed out, you know, some of the people's paths that she's crossed, and there's many reasons why people are where they are now, but without full support, it's not gonna get better.
Thank you. David?
Let's start with the root problem. Okay, right off the get-go, we have to stop the precursors from going into this country. The second thing is we have to get the prolific criminals that are selling the drugs in jail.
Yeah.
Third, we have to make rehab easily available for those who need it. And those who refuse to go, we have to make it involuntary. Right? And we need a good education system so we're educating the young so that they don't become the next lost generation.
Thank you. And Sylvia.
Thanks for this question. I think what this fellow here is talking about is the war on drugs, which has been going on for 50 years, right? Since the 70s, they've been talking about that. How are we going to stop drugs from coming into the country? Clearly, it's not working because we're in worse shape now than we were in the 1970s. So what the NDP is doing is a different approach. They're taking an evidence-based approach that's working in other countries. They're providing housing. They're providing 650 new treatment beds in BC and increasing all the time. They are dealing with the immediate stuff, like providing naloxone for free, making safe use sites, like when we go to the bar to have a beer, making sure that people have the things that they need to keep them alive long enough to actually be able to access treatment. This problem started in 2012 when the Rustad government closed Riverview and threw people out onto the streets with no supports. And this is what we're seeing now. Those are the things we need to deal with.
We are now on to question 11. It will be Greg, Sylvia, David, Sherry, and Jed. How do you plan on working with City Hall to encourage less red tape in building residential areas and helping new businesses to come to Salmon Arm, downtown, and industrial?
That is a great question, and I actually want to congratulate all the municipalities in this region because they do an incredibly good job of this already. I think the goal of this municipal level government is just to provide the opportunities that people need to come here and prosper and grow. So I think we do a really good job. Obviously, there's support provincially that can add to that, and I would fully support that, and I look forward to working with the municipalities that, in my opinion, do a wonderful job already.
Sylvia?
Thanks for the question. So having been a city councilor for the last 6 years, I can tell you that the best way to make sure that this is happening is to develop relationships between municipal governments and provincial governments. Provincial government has brought in new legislation to make densification easier, and that's by changing R1 zoning to R10 zoning, which is what they asked the municipalities to work on. They were allowed to make their own made-in, your own local municipality approach work within the framework that the provincial government has set forth for us. So Mayor and Council and the people that live here know the area the best. They know when we needed a shelter, they came to the municipality and they asked what land was available, what was the best place, It's consultation and collaboration. That's how we're going to make it work. Thank you, Eva.
It begins with listening. You need a provincial government that actually listens to this municipalities and the regional districts. The second thing is you need a good funding model. The provincial government needs to turn around and look at the long-term progress of each area, but local governments still should be making local decisions.
Yes.
Thank you. Sherry?
I agree. It needs to happen at the local level. And what we need to understand as citizens is we need to get involved in what's going on at the local level, because a lot of what's going on we aren't familiar with. I imagine that many people here aren't familiar with new BC bills 44, 46, and 47 and what it means at the municipal council. And a program called ICLE, which is a sustainable development program that takes away our ability to have a say and decide what's happening in our community. We absolutely need to be part of what's going on in our community and making these decisions at a local level.
Yes. Yes.
And Jen.
Could you repeat the question?
Yes. How do you plan on working with City Hall to encourage less red tape in building residential areas and helping new businesses to come to Salmon Arm, downtown, and industrial?
Yeah, as you may know, I'm a first-time candidate. I'm not a polished career politician. I haven't been on a career trajectory. Eight weeks ago, I was a farmer, and I felt like I needed to act because acting gives me something, but it gives me more hope. So I don't necessarily have the answer to this question, but what I can say is that we want to build more housing, and we want to build non-market housing because that's how we bring the cost of housing down and ensure that everybody has their basic needs met.
Thank you. We are now on question 12. It'll be David, Greg, Jed, Sylvia, and Sherry. BC is not currently on track to meet its near or long-term legislated greenhouse gas reduction targets to fight climate change. If elected, what are the top three things you would do to meet 2025, 2030, and 2050 greenhouse gas reduction targets? If you're not in favor of the carbon tax, will you commit to replacing it with an equivalent measure in order to meet our climate targets? And David.
The simple answer is no. I believe that we have to look at our climate change on a global level. We should be doing things that make a big difference in the world globally rather than locally, that only hampers our ability as an economy and as a people. We make ourselves poor. So we have to look at policies that are good for the planet, but they don't have to be mandated within our province. Anything that we can do to innovate and bring down carbon emissions is a good thing. That should always be our goal, and it should be everybody's goal. Whether you go solar, whether you go nuclear for energy, or whatever, we should be looking at that. But the long-term strategy should be globally. Thank you.
I agree that the majority of the problems are a global thing that we just, I don't know why we ignore it, but we do. I think as for local, I think it should be left up to the individuals, the families, to make a difference in their communities. Numbers get thrown around, and there's on it obviously a fairly large economic consequence to where we're trying to go. I believe that it will come to consultation, more discussion, and innovation, absolutely. We're not going, I'm disappointed that we've got nowhere at all with the carbon tax that we have. I don't believe there's been any benefit to the climate whatsoever. So I think it's going to take, some local investment in what you choose to do as a family, but definitely we need to have that global discussion.
Yeah, BC has a fossil fuel-free future. Addressing climate change is paramount for protecting the environment and future generations. And Greg, I'm going to correct you on that. The carbon tax was quite successful at bringing down our emissions. We were the envy of every progressive jurisdiction in North America. We were leaders. But more transparent. We've been left to foot the bill, the people, where, well, the fossil fuel industries have paid about a fifth of what we've had to pay. They go on polluting for free, and the NDP, the main thing we will do, sorry, not the NDP, because everybody is agreeing, the main thing we will do is end the NDP's massive subsidies of LNG and other fossil fuels. We will make the polluters pay and end the massive carve-outs and sweet deals that they've had redirected to well-being.
Thank you very much.
So I think the first thing we need to do is admit that climate change is real. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't trust the science that says that. All around us, in the forest fires that we're seeing, and the major flooding, and changes of extreme
isn't
weather.
Is that Sylvia speak?
The climate crisis is impacting all of us, and it's costing the economy billions of dollars every year. The NDP passed Climate Change Accountability Act. They're bringing in emissions caps for oil and gas industry. They're creating jobs in the clean economy, which is good for both the environment and our paychecks. They've offered rebates to help people transition off oil and gas to things like electric heat pumps and electric cars. Those are the things that we need to continue doing, because BC has access to clean energy already through BC or through our hydro run of the river electric production.
Yeah, building safe.
So it's not your turn to speak. And I really think that we need to have a little more respect in the room, because you make it very difficult. So we need to be careful about who we vote for in this election, because if you vote for climate science, then I...
Great. Thank you, Sylvia.
Go ahead, Mr. Drake.
Can I finish without people yelling and screaming? It's ridiculous how many times the people
are... You have 10 seconds.
Thank you. I think it's important that we trust the science and that we elect people that believe in climate change. Otherwise, we are going to get nothing done, and we're going to leave a mess for our grandchildren.
Please remind everyone that all candidates have 1 minute, and your clapping does not allow them to finish their questions. So if you can hold anything till the end, that would help them speak when they're trying to answer the question. Sherry.
We need to follow the money. We need to understand that Canada is not the country that is causing the problems with climate change in the world. We need to understand what's going on at a global level and what's being dictated to what to us and what we need to do. Nobody does energy better than Canada. And if we understood what the real agenda was, then we would understand that this is about big money. And if we follow the money, we can get back to the source. There's a lot of information out there. Just look up ICLEI. If you've never heard of it before, it's time we all understood what ICLEI is and what it's about and what they have planned for us.
Yes.
Yes. We have question 13 will be Jed, Sherry, Sylvia, Greg, and David. Provincial and federal politics in Canada are built on political parties. What is the number one reason you believe the party you represent is the best for BC or Canada, or the number one reason you're running as an independent?
So the number one thing to know about the BC Green Party is that our platform is meant to be not fear-mongering, but talking about hope for the future, what we want, and the lens that we're looking through is through a well-being framework. We will establish a British Columbia well-being framework that prioritizes the needs and perspectives of all British Columbians, with Indigenous communities at the center of its creation and implementation. And we will create conditions, as I've said before, for people to thrive, for resilient communities, a flourishing natural world, and make the government more transparent and participatory. Every single policy that we have is based on evidence, has been seen to work, proven to work in other countries. We don't make anything up.
Thank you. Sherry?
The party's over. The reality is the party system works for an agenda. They don't work for the people. I wasn't going to vote. Nobody represents me. Who's represented me in the last few elections? No one. We're always voting out a party. We're never voting in a person who represents us or our community. And it's time we got back to representing the people in our communities so that we can you know, govern ourselves in that regard. The party system's over. They don't represent us. And that's why voting independent is probably going to be the best strategy.
So I think one thing that the party system does provide, and I mean anybody knows it's not the perfect system, but the one thing it does provide is a platform. It means that if you vote for the NDP and they've presented their platform, that's what you can count on your MLAs voting in favor of and supporting going forward. It's not a perfect system, but we do need some kind of system that provides that sort of predictability. If you vote for an independent, they could go and vote any way they want, which is might not be why you elected them. So the NDP, actually, I share a lot of values with them, and I think the main piece of that is that we leave no one behind. We live in a society where we're meant to take care of each other. We're meant to live in community. That's what a community means. We used to get that in a church community, and we get that in what's why we join clubs and you know, the school pack and things like that, because we live for community. So
thank
it's important.
Sylvia, that is your time. Greg?
Thank you. I believe that I'm a center-right, fiscally conservative person. If you ran your household the way government currently does, you wouldn't be happy. You would actually start to make the bad choices that government makes. So one of the things I would propose, I've heard a lot of wonderful things today, tonight, it all leads to big government. Big government, big expense. Nobody's talked about the $9 billion deficits the current government's running. We just can't afford it. It's your money. I think it's now, maybe the choice is to pick independent and let's get fiscally back on track.
The Conservative Party of BC truly is a grassroots movement. When I became a candidate, there was three office staff. With the party being so small and listening to the people, there's no lobbyists, there was no big money. It would have been nice to have a little money, but we had no big money. And the fact is that we actually listen to the people, and it's basically like a fresh start. If I would not be a candidate otherwise, if there hadn't been the Conservative Party of British Columbia. Thank you.
So we are question number 14. It will be Sylvia, Jed, Sherry, David, and Greg. Can you address the growing homeless population that is becoming a major problem everywhere? What would your party do about this urgent situation while considering the valid concerns of taxpayers who live close by and are footing the bill?
So the homelessness problem started, like I said, in 2012 when the Rustad government closed Riverview and pushed people out into the streets without funding the things that people needed to be successful. Treatment beds, housing, affordability stuff. It's important to remember that housing first is an important piece of this. And the BC NDP government has been pushing very hard and making sure that they bring the houses to the market that they promised to bring. 95,000 homes, I think, up to this point have either been finished or are almost finished. Some of those houses, a lot of those houses, are built through BC Housing, and we were able to get over 100 units here so that they're subsidized, they're affordable, and some of them have supports for people that are living with vulnerabilities.
Thank you. Good. Poverty is a political choice. We can eliminate poverty in British Columbia. It actually would cost $2 billion to eliminate per year, to eliminate poverty, but it's costing us $14 billion to deal with the end outcomes of poverty. So it's far cheaper to eliminate poverty, which is one of the factors in homelessness.
Oh.
And so we will raise social and disability assistance to above the poverty line. Right now, social assistance and disability are way below the poverty line. Mm-hmm. How many people are we forcing to be in poverty because of that? And by we, I mean the NDP government. We will simplify access to necessary support. We will reduce homelessness by increasing affordable housing availability. As I said, we're going to create non-market housing. We're the only party that is proposing investing money into non-market housing, which is the true way to create low-cost housing through nonprofits and cooperatives for the lower-income people. And we can redirect a ton of that money from fossil fuels into poverty.
Sherry, again, we have to come back to how we got here. How is it that our homes are worth $1 million when so many of us purchased them so many years ago at a fair value? Why is it that our children cannot afford to, not only they can't afford to buy a home, but they can't afford to rent? We need to get back to transparency and accountability. We keep giving more tax money to the government, but they have no accountability about where it's going. Where is the money going? We need a complete audit to find out what they're spending it on. And once we get control of that, then we can address the homelessness that shouldn't be happening in Canada to start with.
Yes.
Thank you, David.
This has been a problem over the long term. It's started with the federal Liberal Party, who've been in power for quite a long time, provincial Liberal Party, and then the subsequent NDP government. But it's also a worldwide problem. We should not accept that we're going to be a third world country. We definitely have to address the people that are homeless on the streets. Why is it they can get Britco trailers out to construction sites and people housed, and yet we can't get people off the street now? We have to take a look at all options that are available. Thank you.
That was maybe the best question of the night so far, you guys. I'm glad you all stayed. Yes, what are we gonna do? On top of homelessness and how do we attack that? There's healthcare, there's education, there's so many things. I fully believe that the money that you currently pay on taxes, and I believe you all pay it way too much. But if we could, again, go through and start to gauge value for our investments, there's enough money to solve every problem. And nobody ever talks about that. So that's where we need to start. We need to realize that we have to spread it across multiple. Our team the other night sat and we just were anticipating questions for tonight, and we had well over 150. So there's a lot of problems out there. The money is there, we just need to spend it in the right places.
So our 15th question will be Sherry, David, Greg, Jed, and Sylvia. Do you accept the International Panel on Climate Change scientific research regarding the reality of man-made climate change? Do you agree that there is a climate emergency? Please describe at least two solutions you would support if elected. Sherry.
Again, it comes back to follow the money. And we need to understand what the ICLEI program is and how it's targeting Canada and what they have in store for us. Do people around here even know what DRIPA is? DRIPA says that we do not have the right to own property. So we are being led by an agenda that most of us are not aware of. And it's time for we, the people, to get educated about what's going on in our own backyard. And then we can take back our country. There's a difference between climate change and pollution. And we need to understand that Canada is not the main pollution problem in the world. They're targeting us. And we keep paying lots of money in taxes, but nobody ever tells you where that money goes. We need transparency and accountability. David?
Do I believe the climate is changing? Sure. The climate's been changing for a long time, since the beginning of time. It changes all the time. The fact is that do humans cause change? Probably. Right? Most likely. The thing is, we should not follow science. We need to innovate. Do I think it's a crisis? I don't think we're at that point. I think that everybody in this room and everybody around the world should be doing their very best to mitigate any kind of problem for our children and for our grandchildren. And probably the best way is actually really take a look at the real scientific data and make come to your own conclusions.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. I don't think we can tax away the issues that we have. So once again, it comes back to poverty, for example. Poverty is not good for the climate. Until we start to care about everyone and where they are and give them the hope that they need, the climate is, again, one of those 55 things we need to work on. So I encourage everyone to look amongst yourselves, your family, to make the differences you have. But if someone's poor, and they need to have two jobs, and they need to drive 220 kilometers a day, that's not helping the climate. So let's support people and their lives, and I think then, and only then, can we make a difference in all that needs to happen.
Thank you, Jed.
Yes, of course I accept that is true. Denying that humans have caused climate change and that it is an existential crisis is as ridiculous now as claiming that cigarettes don't cause cancer, and there was quite a bit of people spreading doubt on it at the time. I actually understand climate change because I might be the only person at this table who's been to university in this millennia, and I've actually taken a class on climate change. I have some skin in the game. I hope to be around for 50 years, and what we need to do is stop dumping billions and billions of dollars into subsidies for climate change, giving them subsidies for fossil fuel companies, giving them sweet tax carve-outs, and redirect that money into the well-being of British Columbians. Fossil fuels only contribute 3.9% of our economy in BC, and yet we give them billions of dollars and we give them an unfair advantage over small businesses.
I think Jed and I can agree pretty heartily on this one. Is there a climate emergency? Obviously, it's all around us. We just saw an unprecedented hurricane hit the south coast of Florida. 3 years ago, there was a new term called an atmospheric river that had never happened before. The forest fires last year were unbelievable. Of course, climate change is real. And yes, of course, the amount of carbon that we're putting into the air is making that worse. There are all kinds of programs that I support for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. One of the big ones is electrification, making sure that we're moving away from oil and gas, taking taxes from big polluters like oil and gas industry, who are currently making record profits, and putting that back into things like solar, geothermal, wind, all the things that we can run as a cleaner energy. So I think that we have lots that we can do, and I think that the NDP has started that process already, and I'm hoping to support them with the BC Clean Energy Plan that is developed with the Greens to move forward.
Now, we are ahead of schedule slightly, so I'm going to consult with the Executive Director and also ask the candidates, would you be interested in answering a couple more questions?
Yes, please.
If we have some more time. Two more. Okay, we will answer two more questions, and that will get us onto the time schedule that we should have been in. Only if they're easy is what I got from. So we will start. Okay, we'll just go straight line across the table. Danielle is going to shuffle. I will get my cues from her. So we will be starting with Greg. Transgender care in our health system is important to ensuring that transgender youth and adults are provided the support that they need to go through their transition. What are you going to do to ensure that transgender care remains available through health providers?
That is an interesting question. I know that we need to respect everyone that got to wherever it is that they're at any point in life, whether it's about to go down a path of addiction, whether it's about to make a terrible mistake in their business lives, whether it's a separation. Without the respect of everyone that walks on this earth, I don't know, we have enough of that on you guys. So I think it just comes down to care, and we need to care for each other, respect each other, and honestly, case by case, from one human to another, we just gotta make this work.
Thank you. Yes.
So we at the BC Greens affirm everyone's fundamental human right to be who they are and to express themselves. We are in complete support of the, can you repeat what the...
So what are you going to do to ensure that transgender care remains available through health providers?
We're going to do everything in our power because it is the correct approach, and there is no moral standing for any other approach.
Thank you. So I personally support transgender care, and so does the BC ND. I hope you're running as a candidate next time.
I think you should too.
When you're done,
or you will be asked. No, please stop. You will be asked to leave if it's again.
Thank you.
I'm going to start again, if that's okay. So I believe in transgender care. I believe that the BC NDP has shown through years of supporting transgender care and support for people going through medical issues. So we need to accept that we don't know anyone better than they know themselves. We don't get to make moral judgments about who people are, how they present themselves, what medical procedures they choose to have. That's between them and their doctor. It's not up to us, it's not up to government to judge that or make decisions on that. One of the things that I see the most in the alternate school is kids leaving the public system because they get bullied so badly because of attitudes that we've seen here tonight about not accepting people for who they are and judging and calling out, and feel free to just be completely rude to people and bully them, which is what's happening here tonight. We need to make sure that everybody feels accepted and that everybody has an equal opportunity to be who they are.
We have no particular policy platform when it comes to this, but the one thing we're not going to do, we're not going to cut any healthcare spending. So whatever's covered now, no matter what it be, I would imagine it'll still be covered.
Thank you.
Transgender care is something that, we need to support all people. But we need to be careful when we're talking about our children. We don't allow our children to get tattoos. We don't allow them to smoke. We don't allow them to drink. We don't allow them to do things that they're not able to make decisions of, and they are not getting informed consent. The other thing that I am really adamant about is that parents need to be involved in what's going on with their children.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be taking children away from parents to do this kind of thing, because it's permanent and irreversible, and sometimes they regret their decisions. Yeah.
So we will have one more question, and then we will do our closing statements. Public boat ramps on Shuswap Lake are inadequate for low water levels after August of every year. They are also unsafe for your trailer tires, as they have drop-offs at the end of the cement ramps. What will you do to expediently fix this inadequacy? Sylvia.
So this, I think, goes straight back to climate change. We've seen year after year after year of drought in the Shuswap. There's no denying that. Lake levels are lower than they've ever been, and they're consistently low even during spring runoff. fixing that problem isn't about building a new boat ramp or investing more money in infrastructure. It's about making sure that we address the problems that are causing climate change in the first place. If I just have a hard time believing that whether or not you get your boat in the lake is the most important issue when you're talking about a provincial election. It's a bit insane. I don't know who submitted the question, but maybe it is to lighten the mood. But I don't think there's an easy fix for that. I think that it's a problem that we're all dealing with, and we need to all be together in the solution to make sure that it gets done. But it's climate related. Sherry?
I really don't know enough about that to speak about, but I don't believe it's related to climate. I believe that, you know, we really need to look at some things that we're not aware of that's going on in the world, and, you know, without our knowledge and consent. And again, we need to be transparent and accountable and see where the money's going.
Thank you. David?
I don't believe this is the most pressing issue that we have in front of us, but I think that when it comes to the boat ramps, I think that we have to look at it by a case-by-case basis. So there is no right answer for this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Another great question. So here's what I think. I think the shoe swap is a lifestyle. If you have a boat, and you're blessed to have a boat, good for you, congratulations. There's some people that are sitting on the dock watching you, take them out one day. I don't believe this is a provincial issue. I got asked a lot when I was door knocking. What I would do is I would go to your local municipality and regional district, and I would pick a day when Sylvia is away on vacation, see if you can get something done about that.
You know, I'm 38 years old. In 2074, I hope to still be alive at 88 years old, and I hope there's still a lake. And I hope there's trees around it. Has anybody noticed any forest fires recently? Yeah. It's not too late. There is still time to tackle climate change. We need to pull together now. And I mean, I don't know, I just feel like I want to know that we can still have this beautiful province that we live in for the rest of my life and for the lives of my nephews and their kids. We have all the technology. Why give up now? Like some of the parties have suggested we do. There's nothing we can do about climate change.
Thank you, all the candidates, for your responses this evening. A reminder that all candidates will receive a copy of the questions that were asked this evening, and we encourage you to post your responses on your website and your social media. Now we will go into our closing remarks. Each candidate will give 3 minutes for the closing comments, and you will again receive a yellow card at the 30 seconds and a red card at the 10 seconds, and we will start in the reverse order than we started. So, Greg?
I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce once again for hosting this, and all of you for coming out. What you're here for tonight is to pick the person in this upcoming election that you feel will best represent where you live and what you believe will benefit. A minute's not a lot of time. Some of my team are going to head over to the Night Cafe. And you want to join us over there, and we can maybe carry on the conversation of some of your concerns that a minute didn't allow. What I'm going to task you all with doing, because we represent you. So instead of looking up here and just seeing an independent, a Green Party member, an NDP, and a BC Conservative, what I'd like you to do is take those four things. When we were at the City of Enderby, whenever we had to make a decision on a bid, tender, we had a little breakdown of what were the qualities we were looking for. So So what I'm going to ask you to do is consider leadership as the first thing, experience and work ethic as the second, teamwork and communication as the third, and last but not least, respect. Because without respect, there's no point in sitting in a room with anyone if you've already made up your mind. So based off of that, do I believe that I have skills in all those? Absolutely, I do. And that's why I think I would make a great MLA for the Shuswap. What I've learned over the time is that this should be really easy for you guys to do, because this community, this region, is made up of those exact four things. We have leaders in all aspects of the Shuswap. We've got municipal leaders, church leaders, school leaders, leaders amongst your family, leaders amongst your peers. So that's an easy thing for you to consider. As far as work ethic and experience, it's important. You need someone that actually can go and navigate and negotiate with the bureaucrats, because we're just elected people. We come and go. You guys get to decide whether we stay or go, but there's people that are there doing the job that you've got to have the ability to go in and work with them for the betterment of your community. Teamwork and communication. I mean, that's what it's all about. And the Shuswap has shown us that, from the Shuswap Trail Alliance to the many, many groups that have succeeded and prospered and given us what we deserve here in the Shuswap. And last but not least is respect. So, look at and figure out who here is gonna respect the whole region and represent you in Victoria. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you guys for putting your names forward. Shelley, Christine, I want to thank my team. You guys are rock stars. Thank you very much.
So my priority is focused on a well-being centered platform, as I've said, and we need to create the conditions where people can thrive. The other two parties have proposed solutions to issues like the drug crisis or poverty or mental health that are dealing with the crisis at the end of those trajectories. The Green Party's platform focuses on the beginning, the prevention. That's what we need to do for a long-term plan. So yes, the Green Party's plan is long-term. It will take, but we need to think ahead for the future. I want to think ahead for the future because I'm still young. But I want to talk about climate change, and I'm really upset with what the current government is doing. Admitting that climate change is real is just not good enough. We need to move forward, not backward, on CO2 emissions, and that's precisely what has happened since the NDP has been in power. They've been telling us for years we believe in climate change, but then they've done nothing but make us pay an unfair portion of the carbon tax while carving out and tweaking it so that the big polluters and the oil and gas companies pay almost nothing in comparison to us. They pay 1% of the rate on water that we pay for fracking. I mean, we're not fracking, they're fracking. The NDP has not started the process. They've actually dragged us backwards on climate policy. They have ensured that we will not meet our emissions targets, and they have a worse climate policy than the previous administration. So the NDP will tell you up and down all day that we believe in climate change, they will do nothing about it. So as I mentioned before, in this election, you can vote for a party that denies climate change, or one that gives lip service to climate change but is beholden to lobbyists and will cave into their demands, or you can vote for the only party that believes in science, listens to experts, and will take real action on climate change while supporting British Columbians with increased rebates. We need to create the conditions where people can thrive. BC Greens has a platform that puts the people and the planet first. Reach out to me with your questions or concerns. I want to hear from you. A vote for me is a vote for science, evidence-based decisions that are informed by experts and lived experience.
Sylvia. So I want to thank you again for coming. Your presence here tells me that you are engaged in the process and you're working to understand the issues, for the most part. You represent the democratic process. as we know it. I believe that some of you likely came here to support your candidate. We saw that. But some of you may be undecided. Perhaps you've come to get to know us because in a region as small as ours, we know each other. We see each other at the grocery store. And sometimes, maybe often, we vote for the person over the party. So let's look back to where we were 7 years ago before the BC NDP were elected. ICBC was in serious trouble, insurance rates were going up. Speculators, Sherry asked why our houses cost $1 million. It's because the previous government allowed speculators, John Rustad's government, allowed speculators to invest in housing and use them as an investment. Instead of keeping them on the market as houses, sometimes they sat empty, waiting for the market to go up. There was a money laundering scandal. There was a teacher's decision in Supreme Court where the teachers finally won a legal battle, which our government, John Rustad's government, fought with your taxpayer dollars for 14 years over contracts that they tore up with teachers. Rustad's government promised that there would be a family doctor for every person, but 3 years after they made that announcement, there were 250,000 people fewer with access to a primary care physician. And after all that, Rustad wants another shot, only this time he's veered hard to the right. He's sold out on his values. In the interest of votes, Rustad is supporting conspiracy theorists and climate change deniers. Those beliefs will not make for good governance. We've seen tonight where those beliefs take people, how uncollaborative they are, how disrespectful they are. So think hard about who you're going to support in this next election. As your representative in Victoria, I'm committed to joining my voice with your voice. I will fight for those who want transparent government and fiscal responsibility. I've heard your demands for more climate action and supports for our most vulnerable neighbors. I hear you, and I'm with you. I have a spreadsheet describing 92 items that the BC NDP accomplished in this riding alone. They were things like affordability grants for students. They were housing initiatives. They were highway improvements. They were bridge replacements. All things that we needed done here. Things that have been on the books since the last government and didn't get done. All those things happened here despite having an MLA who was not part of the government. Now imagine what could be done with an MLA who was part of the government. Someone who has the skills and the commitment to collaborate with people. I built relationships. I understand the issues. I have 15 years
experience. Thank you, Sylvia. That is your time.
The province is in crisis, whether it be healthcare, whether it be justice, whether it be education. People want to see change.
Yes.
We are the change, right? We are a grassroots movement that actually listens to the people. We believe in smaller government. We believe in transparency. We believe in accountability. Whether it be locally or provincially, we have to make big changes, and we want to see those changes, the changes that you want. I live in this area. And I think that having a representative that actually knows this area very well, I know every little community within this area. We all have the big issues, affordability, high costs of housing, etc. But every little community also has their little issues, right? So you have to have an MLA that actually understands this whole riding, that they've been to Seymour, they've been to Falkland. We need to go in a different direction. We also want really have to think about the future. Our children, our grandchildren, and future generations. We do not want to have people packing up and moving to Alberta. We don't want businesses failing and all of a sudden the downtown becoming a ghost town. We want this area to prosper, whether it be the small farmer, whether it be the small business owner. No matter what you do, we want you to succeed. And that you'll do through smaller government, less administration, and less taxes. So also with our party, John Rustad, our leader, wants every MLA have the mandate and oath where they actually have 3 votes. So you actually have a say. Unlike the past where MLAs have to vote along party lines because they think there's some kind of discontent. He welcomes MLAs to vote for what people in this area want, unless it's a budget or it's a vote of confidence. So you can be confident who you elect myself, you will have a big advocate at the table of a governing party. Thank you.
Sherry. So we've all been through a lot in the last 4.5 years and seen a lot of changes that have happened. You know, party politics and their broken promises are too far removed from the needs of the people. And I believe, as many others in BC, that it's time to resurrect a more direct relationship with community. So the voices here in this riding are heard and acted upon. And I'm excited to be the direct link for you as an independent MLA, where I'll bring forward your concerns and we'll vote in the legislature for you, not for the party needs. We're always voting out a party, and we need to get back to vote people in that represent us as the people. They need to be asking us as the people. And I thank you for coming tonight. I had no idea where things were leading me in the last 4.5 years. And this was the last place that I thought I would come. But I've got 8 grandchildren. And I've got a community who have been coming to my house for the last 4.5 years to bring community together so we can talk about the issues that are going on. You know, we've had people unlawfully fired from their jobs for not complying to mandates, and we're in Canada where we have free speech. So, you know, will the governments be hiring back those people with severance pay that were unlawfully fired? You know, we have a million people in BC don't have doctors because our clinics are closing, our hospitals are closing. Our doctors are leaving, not just the province, but the country. And we need, as citizens, to ask those questions. Why is that happening? And, you know, for the future, for my children, my grandchildren, we need the accountability and the transparency. We keep throwing money at them, but they don't tell us where it's going. We have no idea where the money's going. And we can't keep going this way. It's not affordable to live here. And we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to health and wellness. We need to get back to being a free country that we believe that we're living in, but is an illusion.
Yeah.
And it's time that we, the people, stood up. And I'm a leader that will do that. I've done it for the last 4.5 years. And that's why, you know, I'm here. So if I think with the party system, it's so close between the Conservatives and the NDP, that having an independent there is going to help keep their feet to the fire.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to come down and hear our candidates this evening. And thank you again to all of our candidates for coming down and answering the questions. I know some of them were easy, some of them were hard. Voting is currently open right now at the BC Elections Office at 451 Shuswap Street, Southwest. And voting day is on October 19th. This forum is now concluded, and we ask all attendees to please exit through the door at the front of the building, respectfully. Thank you very much.